Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Good morning, everyone. This is Vicki Dobbs coming to you live with Kindred Spirit. I'm the founder of Wisdom Evolution and head cheerleader for the You First Revolution, encouraging you to put you at the top of your priority list, to choose you first, hashtag you matter. Please pop on over to my website at VickiDobbs.com, that's VickiDobbs.com, to find out more about the programs I offer. And sign up for my Friday Food for Thoughts newsletter. You'll always find a gift there for you awesome listeners, a printable journal just for all of you who love to take notes, record those aha moments or questions, even write down those little wisps of wisdom that float by on the wind. I'd love to have you join our circle. Choosing you first is not a selfish act. It is an act of self-preservation that allows you to gift the world with the best of you, not just what is left of you. And I'm excited today to introduce you to my guest, Midge Murphy, the first attorney to receive a PhD in energy medicine. Midge is an amazing story, going from entertainment attorney in Century City, California, to leading treks to remote mountainous areas of the world with her husband, to studying shamanism and energy medicine. And after moving to Oregon, Midge attended a workshop on intuition that led her to enroll and become the first attorney to earn a PhD in energy medicine. And because of her unique background, Midge passionately believes that her path of service is to educate the energy healing community about ethics and legal issues in the practice of and training in energy healing methods. And I'm going to let Midge tell you the rest of the story. Welcome, attorney, healer, educator, and author, Midge Murphy.
Thank you, Vicki. That was lovely to hear all that. And, I want to be here to share some information. And really, my path of service has been for the last 15 years to really help educate and empower the energy healing community so that they have more opportunities to use their services to the public. And that's all about serving the people that we want to help and heal. And, of course, we know that, unfortunately, we are not part of the mainstream healthcare industry as energy healing practitioners. And so in order for us to move forward, I think it's really important that our practitioners really get this training. It's essential for them in terms of being more professional, but it's also a way for them to be in better service and more in integrity with the people that come to seek their help.
Absolutely. And your book, Practice Energy Healing in Integrity, is just a plethora of information. It certainly opened my eyes to, you know, things that really don't come up in your average everyday conversation and yet are so very, very important if you truly want to have a well-rounded and good practice. And who should be reading this book?
Yeah, I think every energy healing practitioner should be reading this book. And I also have an exam based on the book. It's an opportunity to earn a professional credential. So you have a certificate of completion, which indicates that you have some basic understanding and a level of competency in the ethics, legal issues, and also risk management strategies in the practice of energy healing methods. And so I like to kind of give a maybe a big picture so that we can all kind of see where we fit in. But so how do energy healing practitioners actually fit into the current legal and regulatory framework that governs healthcare professionals? And, of course, if we are offering our services to the public in doing some kind of energy healing method or shamanic process, we are offering a healthcare service. So we actually fit under the big umbrella of complementary and alternative medicine. And that's a consensus term that means anything and everything outside of bio-Western medicine. And Michael Cohen, who wrote Future Medicine, actually defined it that way. And I've always liked it, and I've always kept that definition. So if you look at that whole big whole field of complementary and alternative medicine, right now there's only one set of practitioners that are licensed in all 50 states, and that's chiropractors. And then there's some CAM practitioners, I like to call them CAM, that are licensed in some states but not in others. So that would include massage therapists, for instance, naturopathic physicians, and acupuncturists would be in that group. And then there's others that are completely unregulated, and that would where the energy healing community fits under that umbrella, then in that it's a completely unregulated field, except there's one exception. There are some states that require those who use any kind of touch to be licensed massage therapists. So, for instance, I have been a therapeutic touch practitioner for over 20 years, and I learned that modality as a hospice volunteer. So I do use touch if I'm doing some kind of in-person energy healing session with someone. So it's important to understand where we actually fit. And what's happening out there is states are really starting to say, we think we need to start to regulate some of these practices because it's the wild, wild west. That's the perception they have of us, in that anyone can hang out a shingle and say, I'm an energy healing practitioner, whether they took a weekend workshop or maybe they did go through a 2 or 3 year training program. So there's no sort of regulation or credentialing of any of us in the field. And so that's why I'm really looking to help educate and empower, you know, the energy healing community and those practitioners to say, this is really important, not only for purposes of being having a more legally sound practice, but also so that you understand how the laws and regulations that apply to you could actually affect your business. And unfortunately, the biggest risk that we face as non-licensed energy healing practitioners is that we could be charged with practicing medicine or psychotherapy without a license based on what kinds of words we use, what kinds of services that we offer. So let me give you just a quick example. So you want to avoid saying you do any kind of treatments or that you do any kind of therapy because the perception is that means you're offering some kind of licensed healthcare services. So we want to make sure we're not creating the perception that we're doing that. The other piece is don't say you treat any kind of medical condition. Don't even say you work with anxiety because anxiety is a psychological disorder. And as a general rule, only licensed mental health care professionals can work with people with anxiety, PTSD, depression, all of those psychological disorders. So the book is really about helping people understand what is your scope of practice and what does that mean for you? And you need to be aware of the laws and regulations in your state that apply to you. So there's a lot of information there to kind of get you understanding a little bit about how we fit into the healthcare field and how to best approach our practices so that we don't get ourselves into trouble.
And this would also cover people that do EFT or Reiki or chakra balancing or any of those kinds of wonderful alternative types of energy healing.
Yes, absolutely. Excuse me, it does. It includes, I work a lot with the EFT community, emotional freedom techniques, and of course, I'm also certified in matrix energetics, and I've been initiated as a Reiki master. So those are some of my tools that I bring, as well as the shamanic work that I do. So yes, it includes all of those, healing touch, Eden energy medicine, matrix energetics, havening techniques. There's just the emotion code, body code. I'm just thinking of there's just so many modalities out there that sort of have a basis of working with the human energy system. So biofield, we're really talking about biofield practices.
So what are some practical considerations that one should take note of if they're currently working in or maybe are planning to start an energy healing modality practice?
Well, I think one of the first things to really look at is your training. And that's kind of the foundational piece. And I think what we're moving towards is some kind of credentialing around what are, you know, what kind of training have you had. And so I would really recommend that the best approach for that is to look for a really high quality certification program or a training school where you get certified in a particular modality, one that maybe you're particularly interested in. Obviously, you have to resonate with that modality. And so it's important to kind of look at, do they offer in-depth training in the modality itself? So several workshops, whether in person or online. And then you need to be able to really practice with people and be mentored and supervised in terms of, are you really understanding how to use that modality in a therapeutic session? That is critical and essential, and most energy healing practitioners do not get this training. And so that's when they take a misstep, they have a boundary violation, they have an ethical violation, not because they're intending to do so, it's because they don't know any better. And so it's really important to have that piece, that foundational piece of training. I know as a shamanic practitioner, I've gone through lots of different training programs.
You take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com. Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art and creativity, so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everybody. We had a bit of a glitch, and both Midge and I ended up offline. So we are back. Glad it happened just about break time. And Midge, I'm not sure where you left off or if we both got ejected together.
I don't know either.
Technology is just wonderful it isn't. So I know that you talk a lot about having a personal code of ethics, and the whole purpose of your book is opening people's eyes to ethical and legal considerations in their practice. And so why don't we just kind of start back there. What do you call a personal code of ethics?
Well, I think you have to do your own internal work as to what is your code of ethics in terms of, or your level of integrity about what you want to do and how you want to work. And so they can fold very nicely into just a traditional ethics code that a particular organization or a code of ethics that is promulgated by maybe some licensed healthcare providers. They all have ethical codes they have to adhere to, whether you're a marriage and family counselor or a medical doctor or a nurse. So I think it's just important to really know what your core foundation is. And that is going to be a guidance for you when sometimes you may not know exactly where to turn or what to do. And that's what I have found in the last 15 so years I've been doing this, is that there are times when maybe an external ethics code may not be that helpful, but if you've really gone inside and you really know inside of you what it is you feel you can do and not do, and what are your parameters in terms of your skill level, then you may not cross that boundary, which could create harm to someone that comes to see you because it's just not part of your scope of practice or what you're able to do for them. So I think it can be really a foundational piece to know and guide you when maybe an external ethical code doesn't have the answers for you, but you can find them within yourself. If you've done the work and really have honed in and know what is your core values in terms of what it is you want to do as an energy healing practitioner. And I think I actually have an exercise in the book around that. Where do you really put down your core characteristics and your core values about the work that you do? And you can really rely on those in moments when maybe something external is not going to be that helpful based on what you're facing in the moment.
So how do you find out about the laws that impact us as practitioners or energy counselors, or is that a word you would avoid, where you are licensed or non-licensed? And
right.
How does one navigate those rules of compliance to be sure they're met so you don't run afoul of the law or regulations that we should all be aware of?
Well, I think you need professional advice. That's number one. Number two, the ways that you can look at it, let's do two groups. First, let's do the group that I'm in, which is unlicensed practitioners. And so I'm completely unregulated here in the state of Oregon where I'm at, but I also practice across state lines, and so most energy healing practitioners do as well. So one of the foundational pieces to have is a legally sound client agreement and disclosure statement. And that's the legal document that governs the relationship between you and when you work one-on-one with a client. But if it's done properly with the right disclosures, then it's a very clear document that allows the client to know exactly what services you are offering and what services you are not, and the fact that you're not licensed and they're not going to offer any kind of medical or psychological or any other kind of licensed healthcare service. That clearly indicates what is your scope of practice from a legal standpoint. And that's an important piece, not only because then your client understands what it is you're offering and they don't get confused. And when they get confused and they get angry, that's when they want to file a lawsuit against you because they didn't clearly understand what it is you are offering. So the other piece is you want to be really careful about how you advertise your services. And most of us have websites. And so we have to be aware of Federal Trade Commission rules and regulations about how you advertise your services, what kind of title you use, and what words to avoid, which I mentioned a little bit earlier in our interview. So that's critical. And then for licensed practitioners, their risks are different. Their risks are not being afraid of being charged practicing medicine or psychotherapy without a license. Their risk is that they could be subject to professional discipline for practicing below the standards of care or outside their legally defined scope of practice. Now, those are a lot of words, but basically what it means, they could lose their license for using a modality that is not considered part of their scope of practice. So, for instance, right now, let's say you're a psychotherapist and you want to incorporate Reiki into your practice. You have to do it extremely mindfully and carefully because if you look at the definition of the practice of psychology, there is no place anywhere in any of the 50 states where Reiki would be included and part of the practice of psychotherapy. So you have to be mindful of that and to bring in those non-traditional approaches in a way that reduces your risk of your board saying, hey, what the heck are you doing? And you need to stop or you're going to lose your license. And there have been practitioners who have lost their licenses. Recently, I was working with a physical therapist who lost his license. He was doing some energy healing work with a client. She had a psychotic break, and she sued him, and he had to pay a hefty fine. Insurance company covered most of it, but he lost his license because the energy healing modality he was offering to his client or his patient was not part of the scope or practice of physical therapy. So it can be a slippery slope. And so the book is all about giving you some information and some tools and some risk management strategies you can implement in order to reduce the potential legal risk you have and just being a pioneer out there. Let's face it, we're out there doing things that haven't been done before and integrating more into the healthcare field. And as a result, there are risks that we face, and I'm here to reduce the potential of those risks affecting your practice.
Got it. Wow. That's a lot to take in, and especially in realizing that what we may do naturally because we've studied or worked in a field, and it just becomes part of our language, part of our everyday conversations, may cross lines that we aren't even aware are there.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I personally signed up to take the test and have just started it as I go through the book. And the exam alone is like, oh, eye opener. And I think that it's something that, for myself, I have done a 4-year apprenticeship with the Mystery School with Lynn Andrews, and I did a 3-year process or 2.5 years with Don Oscar Miro Caseta, and I'm a graduate of Artist of the Spirit program. It is another year, and I have to say that one really follows along what you're saying. There's accountability, there's practice, there's written documentation, and even with Lynn, there's 150 hours of experiential work that you have to document. And
excellent. And yes.
Part of what I was reading through you is that documentation can be really big in record, not just in your record keeping, but if somebody comes to you and says, hey, you can say, here's how I got to where I am, here's my practice, here's what I've done. And so talk a little bit about, you know, how that really plays into privacy and accountability and that kind of stuff. I'm not sure I'm using the right words, but I know you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, you know, what I also want to share, what just sort of came up for me intuitively, was to let the listeners know there are some states that have what we call health care freedom laws. And those are very critical to our community. And there's 11 states that have these laws. And basically, they are the legislature. Let's take California, for example. They realize that a lot of the citizens want to actually access these energy healing practitioners, what they call in California alternative healing arts practitioners. But they also knew that if people wanted to access these folks, that there was this continued threat of being charged with practicing medicine without a license, because medical practice acts are so broadly construed that just about any kind of healing work is considered the practice of medicine. So they said, let's pass a law that says, hey, okay, you're an alternative healing arts practitioner and you want to offer your services to the public. Great, let's let you do that without the threat of being charged with practicing medicine without a license. So here's what you need to do. There's some things you can't do. You're not going to do surgery. You're not going to tell someone to stop taking their drugs. You're not going to do x-rays or set bones or anything that's invasive. And if you make certain disclosures, such as what you're just really talking about right now, Vicki, is that your background and training in the modalities that you're offering, and including certain disclosures that you disclose that you're not licensed by the state of California, and that your services are considered complementary or alternative, then once that document is put together and your client signs it, then you're good to go in the state of California. You don't have that threat anymore. So that's a really sort of a sweet spot for practitioners. And I think it's important to know that there is 11 states, as I mentioned, that have that. So that would be one of the things I would recommend for folks that may be interested, is to check to see whether or not your state has a health care freedom law. And also, if you are a hands-on type of energy healing practitioner, then you want to check the Massage Practice Act in your state to see whether or not, as an energy healing practitioner that uses touch, you have to be a licensed massage therapist in order to practice in that state. So those are kind of some of the basics to understand. And I think in terms of just the training and education, I think what you've done is wonderful. I've also trained for several years with 2 indigenous healers for shamanic work. And so those kinds of apprenticeships are different than going through a specific type of training program, but I think they have great value. And I think in what my experiences in the shamanic training that I have had, there is accountability. And in sort of that community, if you're not in integrity with the archetype of the shaman or the archetype of the medicine person, then your community knows and there's corrections that get made. Unfortunately, once you're behind a closed door with someone in a private practice, that kind of goes away. So I think the community aspect of the shamanic training that I've had, and probably you have, has been a great tool and teacher of how to create good boundaries and how to be in integrity when you're working with folks, whether it's in a community setting or privately one-on-one with someone.
Absolutely. And when you're talking about the client-practitioner agreement, Is that something that you would set up? Because it would seem to me if I just called my lawyer that did my trust or something like that and say, hey, look, here's what I'm doing and here's what I need. And unless they understand what I do, they're not really going to have a form that's going to work for me. So do we, people like myself, contact you and say, hey, you know, here's what I'm doing. How can you help me to have the forms that I need to keep myself and my clients out of hot water?
Yeah, well, I also offer a number of what I call risk management practice packages. And, yeah, one of the things that I do is I audit websites to make sure that you're in full compliance with Federal Trade Commission rules and regulations, that you're not inadvertently making some kind of legal guarantee based on the language on your website, or that you're exposing yourself to the perception that you're practicing some kind of licensed healthcare service. So that's really important in terms of how you put yourself out there to the public. That's probably where we face the biggest risk. And so there's a lot of information in the book about that in terms of use of titles and client testimonials, what you need to be aware of. But, yeah, I do customized state-of-the-art informed consents or client agreements and disclosure statements for both licensed and non-licensed practitioners. And as a risk management consultant, then I've worked with people all over the country. And I work with a lot of training organizations. A number of my training clients now are training organizations where they require people going through the certification program to read the book and take the exam based on the book. And it's a revenue-generating opportunity for the training organization. But what I love is the fact that those students going through the program have been exposed and have an understanding about the legal and regulatory issues, and that this is an essential and critical component of their ability to be a legally sound practitioner. And it's going to serve them in terms of they're going to look more professional in terms of how what's happening out there in the field, and as we work towards more regulation and credentialing of the energy healing community, having a certificate of completion will be something that will be necessary and mandatory at some point. So I think it's a win to really work on getting these practitioners to really understand that this is an essential tool for them and not something to be afraid of or think that it's too scary, but actually it's very empowering.
Yeah, because the more you know, the better you're able to be present with somebody else and the less stress you have on yourself about, you know, what if I say this, or oops, that was the wrong word. And I think it's especially important when you touched on the website stuff and some of what I read in your book about how we accept testimonials and what we put out there in print as testimonials from clients.
Yeah, that's a really, there's a myth out there that you can put any kind of website testimonial from a client up on your website because First Amendment right. They have a right of free speech. This is what their experience with you as a practitioner, and so you think you can put up whatever you want as a client testimonial on your website. Well, that's not true. The truth is, once the client testimonial becomes a testimonial and you put it on your website, it's considered a form of advertising under Federal Trade Commission rules and regulations. So therefore, you really have to be very mindful and very careful about your client testimonials that they don't violate some kind of licensing law or the Federal Trade Commission rules and regulations about claims of curative ability. You have to have competent and reliable scientific proof to say anything about X, Y, and Z. The energy healing method just cured my insomnia. That client testimonial puts you in trouble on a number of levels. One, you have to have confident, reliable scientific proof that your method has that ability to help someone with insomnia. Number two, insomnia is a medical condition. So if you say on your testimonial that you work with someone with insomnia, you could be charged with practicing medicine without a license. So that's why the nuances of the words are so critical in terms of exposing yourself with a big red flag over your head or keeping yourself safe as possible as you offer your services to the public.
That's a real eye-opener right there in just how you navigate what you advertise. So tell me a little bit about, in the few minutes we've got left here in this segment, how you look at somebody's website.
Well, I kind of look at the lens of how would a visitor, how would a licensing board, how would a court of law, how would a regulatory agency view what you're offering? What was the perception they would get about what you're offering on your website? That's the lens that I look through in order to reduce potential legal liability. So it's a very fine focus, and it's a very slippery slope. And so there's lots of nuances in the word. Instead of saying someone is dealing with a lot of trauma, you can say they've been dealing with stressful life experiences or overwhelming, distressing experience. You know, there's different nuances and words that you can use that don't put a red flag over your head. And a lot of that language is in the book itself. But to go through a website as an audit is to look at the contents and suggest edits to reduce potential liability. And the other component that's critical is your website legal disclaimer. And that's the legal document that governs the relationship between you and any visitor to your website. And that's a critical risk management tool to make sure your website has a website disclaimer so that you are as protected as possible in terms of either a licensing board, a court of law, a regulatory agency, or a visitor to your website, you know, coming after you and making some kind of claim against you. So that's critical. And I don't want to scare people because it's all about empowering you, and it all can be done. It's not impossible. It all can be done. And it's just a question of educating yourself and empowering yourself to know this is my little area, this is my lane on the freeway that I can be as safe as possible, and then I have freedom to offer my services to the clients that come and want to be of help, and I can help them.
And I think that's a key right there, is we all get sort of I don't want to get involved when it comes to things of law and regulation, and it's like, hey, you know, we've been out here doing our thing, and yet we write a book, we put a disclaimer in it. So I don't know that I have a disclaimer on my website. I tell people what to put there. I have no clue how they get it out there. I would have to go in and check on that myself to even see if that's there. And yet, as I write a book, as you have in your book, there's a very definitive disclaimer in there that says, hey, I'm not a doctor, and you know, what I say in here is not meant to be medical advice.
Yeah, it's not medical or psychological advice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the website disclaimer can do that for you. And I do those all the time. When I audit a website, it always includes a disclaimer as well. So those are all included in my packages as well.
Such a powerful lot of information. And I know we're on our wrap up closing in. So we will be back in just a few, folks. Hang in there, and Midge and I will return shortly.
Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art and creativity, so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com. Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com. It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
welcome back, everybody. This is Vicki Doss, and I'm here with attorney, energy healer, just overall awesome lady, Midge Murphy. And golly, I think I could talk for the next 3 hours about some of the things that really sparked my thought processes in going through your books. That one of the things that I'd love for you to spend some time on, and I enjoyed reading about, was the different archetypes that you explore as guardians of ethical relationships and therapeutic relationships, and that sacred contract between the practitioner and client. And we've all heard of archetypes, and many of the indigenous mythology includes archetypes, and I have never thought about them as being a part of this type of practice. So that was a real interesting section in your book for me. And could you talk a little bit about the different archetypes?
Oh, I would love to, Vicki. This is one of my favorite topics. And it really sort of stems from my work when I was going through my PhD program, working with Norm Shealy. He was the head of my dissertation committee, and also Carolyn Mace. And Carolyn was writing Sacred Contracts at the time. So we were very steeped in all the archetypes. And when I started to write the book and started to teach, I really saw the relationship between the practitioner and the client as a sacred contract. And not in the sense of religious, but in the sense of that deeper underlying connection that we all share. And so that's where I go deeper in terms of the sacredness of all life, and we're all one, and how to work with that sacred contract in relationship to someone who comes to me as a client. And so I started to play with that concept, and what I sort of discovered is that archetypes are animated within the therapeutic relationship. And for instance, for me, archetypes are just patterns of energy. So I can notice when I'm working with someone, oh, they have a damsel archetype. I can sense it. I can see it in terms of their demeanor and who they are and their energy field. And so I'm very mindful of that in terms of damsels want to be rescued. So I make sure that I set the therapeutic relationship up so that I'm not being the rescuer, that they rescue themselves. So, for instance, that's one way it can work. And I think with respect to the power differential, which is inherent in every therapeutic relationship, and that comes from the world of psychotherapy, in that they're coming to you for help. So they're in a more vulnerable position, and they see you as the person with the power. And so we have to be very mindful of not exploiting the power differential in the therapeutic relationship. So what comes in that dynamic is a parent-child archetype combination. So to be really mindful of what child archetype may be showing up in that power differential, and just be mindful of how you work with those boundaries and how you empower that child. There's just so many different applications of how people can show up in terms of a therapeutic relationship with you if you're doing energy healing work. And I have found it's very helpful in sort of avoiding issues and problems by just recognizing what their archetypal patterns are and how you can be in service to them as part of the healing process.
Can you tell us a little bit, for somebody who may not be familiar with the term, what you're talking about when you say an archetypal or an archetype?
Yeah, I mean, we all speak archetype fluently. We just don't realize it. I mean, there's been
right.
So many books written about archetypes. And I see them as patterns of energy that when they're personal, they form and then they animate your personality. But they're actually part of the collective unconscious. And that's, you know, Carl Jung started all of this back when he started to talk about introverts and extroverts as a personality type based on a pattern of energy that they carry. So, for instance, with Carolyn Mace's work, which I sort of built my sacred contracts work on as well for my book, is that it's a psychotherapeutic tool to understand who you are, why you're here, what are the contracts you agreed on a soul level to work on when you're here on the earth plane. So that maybe is a lot of different kinds of aspects of archetypal work, but it's really just to inform you about some things about yourself. We all share a victim archetype. We all do. And so how do you sometimes sabotage yourself? We have a saboteur archetype. So when you're starting to work with the light and shadow sides of the archetypal patterns that we all share, then you start to be able to, I think, to have a better and maybe a more fuller, richer understanding of the clients that you're working with or even your friends or yourself as well. So hopefully that helps a little bit with your question.
It does, and I think that to tap onto that, it was like maybe talk a little more about how each archetype fits in with the ethical practice.
Well, I think if you are working with archetypes and you kind of recognize them and have the skills and the training to recognize them, it means that you can better fully and more richly understand your client. And also where you're, maybe you have a little blind side. Where can you get triggered? I have a very strong judge archetype as part of my sacred contract. I have to really monitor the judge archetype to make sure that I'm not trying to impose my will or my ideas or my suggestions or my recommendations on my client. I want to make sure it's their process, it's not mine. So I kind of am aware of, oh, the judge archetype just showed up. I need to back off. I need to create more space for their transformation or whatever they're doing for themselves to really become fully manifested in that session, and that I'm not directing it in some way because my judge archetype has gotten a little too animated within that particular session with that client. So that would be one example. I'm also a certified forest therapy guide. I do guided forest immersion walks on my property here in Eugene, Oregon, and we have the archetype of the guide. To be aware of, we're just here to create space for the person to experience whatever they're going to experience when they're in the forest doing a guided forest walk. So I think it's a way to just hone your skills to be more fully aware of the dynamics and the energies that may be around you. And of course, as a shamanic practitioner, I sometimes get power animals and all kinds of other beings that want to be in service in that particular client session that I didn't ask for, but they show up and I recognize them. Those are all archetypal patterns as well. So I think they can just be in service to, you know, really helping the client deal with whatever they're wanting to have help with and to hopefully have a really solid outcome for the work that we've been doing together.
Can you tell us, like, a few of, I know you've mentioned the rescuer, and you've mentioned the damsel, and you've mentioned the judge. What are some of the other archetypes that might be familiar to us? We just don't have a name for them.
Gosh, so many. well, I think one of the things in terms of, we have to be really careful about the healer archetype. And you know, a lot of us come to this work as wounded healers, and I want to make a really, it's an ethical but also a legal statement. One is, I never, ever call myself a healer. From an ethical standpoint, I am not the healer. The only true healer in the room is the client, or if it's a group work, whatever they're doing. I'm a facilitator. I can witness. I can hold space. I have some skills and talents that can create, an energetic pattern that can help them move through whatever they need to move through. Self an energy healing practitioner. Also, if you call yourself a healer, then you could be charged with practicing medicine without a license. But the healer archetype, there's the rescue archetype, the healer, and sometimes there's the servant archetype. So kind of being well aware of those different dynamic patterns, you might be more of a rescuer than a healer. And I do talk about that in the book, and there's actually some exam questions around that particular issue. So, and there's so many books you could read about archetypes and really sort of, get a more familiar sense of understanding about them. But, you know, everyone comes in with all kinds of different issues and archetypal patterns. So,
well, I think they give somebody a good idea of how to look at things and begin. And you know, the best recommendation I have is go back to your book, because it is just a Bible for getting yourself into a good space in your practice. And with that, we got to take another break, and we will be back shortly. This is Vicki Dobbs with Midge Murphy, and we'll be right back.
Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com. It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art and creativity, so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Vicki Dobbs, and I'm here with Midge Murphy. And as we begin to wrap this up, I know you have such a deep understanding of both the law and the alternative healing arts, and I know you see yourself as a bridge to kind of cross that fence. So many of us hate to say, oh, my God, government regulation, and yet we want the freedom to practice and the empowerment to do that without worrying if we get it right. And I, for one, love the fact that you talk about not just ethics and not just the legal aspect, but the personal aspect of, you know, healer, heal thyself. And the fact that we are holding space for people to travel through their own healing journey. So coming from that place of understanding both sides of the fence of bridging, what's the next step for a practitioner who's read your book, obviously the exam, but what's the next step maybe for the community out there listening to this show and those who are working in and working for some of these wonderful, I'll call them mystery schools, in the alternative energy arts, that are training people to step out into the world in these practices? Because, boy, I could see this being in every one of those organizations.
Yeah, that's actually my dream, is to be able to do that and to get this information and this knowledge and this ability to have a more ethical and legally sound practice. Because I think it really serves not only the practitioner and the training organizations in terms of being able to move more into the mainstream healthcare industry, but it's really, ultimately, it's about us being in integrity and having a legally sound practice for the purposes of the people that come to be with us as clients. And I think as we're moving forward, what's sort of happening out there is, as I mentioned, I think, earlier in the show, that there is rumblings around licensing energy healing practitioners. And so I think one of the things that we're looking at, there's a group of us putting together a national certification board for biofield practitioners that would be a place where we could start to bring national credentialing to the field itself. We're just in the formation stages of that organization so that we can self-regulate. We would much rather self-regulate ourselves than having the government try to regulate us. Because as you mentioned, if you go to an attorney and say you're just your general attorney and say, hey, I want to have a client agreement and disclosure statement for my shamanic practice, they're going to look at you like you're crazy. They have
yes,
no clue
exactly.
about what to do. And so, and kind of legislators are the same way. And under what we want to make sure we understand is that why do we have licensing laws to begin with? And the reason is it's the safety and protection of the citizens. So that comes from the 10th Amendment to the United States Constitution that allows states to pass laws and regulations to protect the safety and welfare of its citizens. So we all know, yes, we want our doctors to be licensed. We don't want someone that went to a weekend workshop to do a surgery on us. So it's important to understand the underlying regulatory value of why we have licensing laws is for safety and protection of the citizens. So I think as we move forward, this National Certification Board of Biofield Practitioners and Practices can be a place where the states can look to us and say, if you are nationally certified, your school is nationally certified by this particular organization, National Certification Board, then we will allow you to practice in our state, and we're not going to seek licensing of you. So it's a way to begin to start to self-regulate the field. But, you know, this is a big undertaking because it's like herding cats, right?
Right.
The field is very disparate in terms of coming together. There's a lot of competition. There's a lot of sort of like, you know, this is my turf and that kind of thing that happens. I've noticed that in the last 15 or 16 years. But I think, yeah, coming together, creating a way that we can credential ourselves is a way to sort of, you know, push back this rumbling and this movement towards wanting to pass licensing statutes around the practice of energy healing methods. So, for instance, right now Massachusetts has a law that would require energy healing practitioners to be licensed, and it's in committee right now, and it hasn't gone anywhere. But again, it's just an indication that the states are starting to look to wanting to somehow regulate this field so that there's some kind of credentialing and it's not considered the wild, wild west anymore.
Well, if you put together a certification board, you would be giving legislators and organizations that are looking to regulate these myriad of fields, if they even understand what the names of each practice are, a place to go and say, okay, this is what this is, this is what this is, and you give them an umbrella to say, these folks kind of know what they're doing. Look here.
Right.
And so I love the idea of a certification board, and don't anybody out there throw rotten tomatoes at me. That's just my point of view that that I believe ethical and legally affirmed alternatives to flying by the seat of our pants
right.
gives all of us more, not just credibility, but empowers us to step into our practices with the freedom to be who we are because we have taken the steps to get to this place of doing it right.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one of the things that I've noticed out there, we just did a big event with the Consciousness and Healing Initiative on certification and licensing. And so I think the most of the energy healing community is asking the wrong question. They're saying, I'm against regulation of any kind, and I understand that. However, that's really not the pertinent question. The question is, do you want to self-regulate, or do you want to be regulated by the states through licensing laws?
Right.
So that's really
that's
what's on the table
to get
right
out
now. Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, and also it creates more employment opportunities for us. We could be integrated into a nice clinic where there's an MD, there's a massage therapist, there's a psychotherapist, there's a medical intuitive, there's an energy healing practitioner, maybe shamanic practitioner, so that the patient that comes to this clinic has access to all of these wonderful modalities for a whole person approach to health. It's not anymore just the standard Western medicine. We're wanting to create an integrative healthcare system. That's what the government is going for. And until
yeah.
we can create a way to credential energy healing practitioners, we're not even at the table. We're going to be left out the door. So this is a way, again, to just really make sure that as integrative healthcare becomes what's really the focus of our country, that we're at the table and we can offer our services to the public.
I think that's awesome. Just listening to you talk about this whole WHOLE approach to our own healthcare, as opposed to separating like modern medicine is now. I mean, you go to the eye doctor and he says, well, I can't help you, go over here to this particular part of your eye specialist. And that guy says, well, no, you need this particular type of, and it's so disparate to the whole individual that if they had a place where they could go that offers them a holistic approach to incorporate both modern medicine and the alternative healing arts, wow, is that a dream come true or what?
Totally, yes. Sign me up.
As in, yeah, as in whole, W-H-O-L-E.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I know for me, I get tired of being separated. Each little part of me has to do something different in order for me to try to keep this whole being upright and moving.
Yeah, we have our roles that we play. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we're on the tail end of things, Mitch. Real quick, the book is Practice Energy Healing in Integrity, and it's available everywhere good books are sold. Please go to Midge's website, MidgeMurphy.com. That's MidgeMurphy. Thank you so much for your wisdom and knowledge. It's been such an eye-opener to read your book. I've just learned so many important things, and a real quick wrap-up, what else have you got to say?
Well, thank you so much, Vicki. I just really enjoyed our talk today and appreciate your support. I want to let the listeners know that the book is available on Amazon, and the PDF book is available, version of the book is available on my website. The exam is only available on my website, MidgeMurphy.com, and also my various packages are also available. So I want to let people know how they can reach out, and I offer free 15-minute consultations, and this has been great for me, Vicki, to meet you and to share some thoughts with you, and really enjoyed our conversation today.
Thank you so much, Midge. This is Vicki Dobbs, founder of Wisdom Evolution and head cheerleader for the You First Revolution, reminding you that it's time to give yourself permission to be on the top of your priority list, to add you to your calendar and choose you first. You have a right to be happy. And just a hey-hey announcement, my new book, Wisdom and Wit, hits the market end of the week. Have a wonder-filled week traveling down those happy trails. Till we meet again, I send you all many blessings.